Welcome, everybody. Tonight's share is dedicated for Shlema to Alta Moshe Meir ben Rachalea. Our learning should serve as a refuah. And I want to just thank everyone. Chag Sameach, good moed. Hope everybody is having a wonderful 3-day yontif. This is exactly what life will be like when Mashiach, God willing, comes in our lifetime. A Yom Shekula Shabbos, a day that feels like Shabbos every single day. It's the time of the month when we don't know what day it is, but we know that Shabbos or Yontif is around the corner, and it's a beautiful thing for all of us to experience. So, Chag Sameach and good moed. I wanted to just cover some themes about the Lulav and Esrog de Abraminim, and wanted to focus on the Ushpizin as well. So those are two topics I'd like to cover over the next few minutes with everyone, and I hope that you do enjoy. We know that Chazal bring down that we have to take a lulav, an esrog, a dasim, a ravos. We know that there's a medrash that is on top of the pasuk in Vayikra, Chav Gimel, chapter 23, verse 40, which says, "V'lekachtam lachem pri eitz hadar kaposim arim anaf eitz avos v'arve nachal." That we have to take all these arbaminim, and we know that the medrash brings down that the esrog resembles that of the heart, and the lulav that of the spine. It resembles a shudra, which is the spine. The esrog resembles the lev. The hadasim resembles the eyelid, and the arava resembles the lips. And as we had mentioned, I think it was a prior week, but it's worth recalling that the only when the heart pumps can the person stand and the eyes see and the lips move. They all are required to work together. And there's a qualitative element or factor that's layered in, that there's a unity among all of these arba minim. However, there is another idea that's equally pressing and equally important, is that the esrog has a fragrance, and the aravos do not have a fragrance or a taste, whereas esrog both has a taste and a fragrance. The lulav and the hadas have one qualitative element, but not the other. One has fragrance, such as the lulav, but no taste, and the hadas has taste but no fragrance. So they both have different elements, or maybe I reversed it. But the idea is that this resembles, or this reminds us of an individual that has is learned and has Torah study and together qualitative elements of mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. That is the esrog, and the arava is one that does not have anything. So we know that the hadas and the lulav, you know, one has mitzvos and ma'asim tovim, but the other does not have any Torah learning, and vice versa, one has Torah learning but not mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. Obviously, the ideal is the hadar, the pre-eitz hadar, which is the only element here that has to be refined, it has to be beautiful, which is that our goal is always to be like the esrog, which has both a taste and a fragrance, which means that we should always strive to increase our Torah learning as well as our performance of mitzvos. And this, I think, we've covered already. But I wanted to focus tonight on the arava, which is, it's kind of like the third wheel, or in some cases, we would call it the fifth wheel. We come to this beautiful chag. And, you know, beforehand, we had just celebrated Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, we said that after Rosh Hashanah, after the Aser Simei Tshuva, after the 10 days of repentance, and then we come to Yom Kippur night on Kol Nidre, and we say, Anu matchil nispalel im ha'avaryanim. Now we are ready to pray together with all of the sinners. And this always bothered me as a kid, because we really should be saying something totally different. We should be arguing or saying or beseeching. We are now presenting ourselves before you together with a bunch of sinners? No, we should be saying the opposite. We should be saying Anu matzchilim lispal im hatzadikim, but we do not say that, and that's what bothers me, and that's what has bothered me, and I was thinking about this many years, and I have my own chiddush on this. I'd like to share that with you tonight. I don't see it written anywhere, so if you think it's valuable, then please share it and let me know what your reaction is to it. And that is that there's a Gemara in Krisus on Dav Vav Amud Beis that says that when Yosef HaTzadik came down to Mitzrayim, he came down with the Achar Asar, he came down with the 11 Simanim, the 11 spices, one of which was Chelbana, which is putrid smell. But consider that the Chelbana is not something that someone would put on themselves voluntarily. It actually sweetens the rest of the smells, which are naturally sweet. So the question is, why was it necessary to include the Chelbana? Well, we're going to get back to that in just a second. But the Rambam on that Gemara learns that when it comes to making a minyan, we have to include someone who is not as familiar with our morning tefillah or our prayer practices in order to impress upon that person, this is how we daven. Now, that means that we have 10 people. Normally, that should be sufficient, and it sure is. But the Rambam is saying, find someone who doesn't know how to daven, or he's not exposed to davening. Bring that person into a minyan and let them experience what davening is all about. It may be a very challenging task to fill, but it is certainly something the Rambam is trying to impress upon us, the importance of tefillah. And on that, I wanted to be mechadesh to say that when it comes time for Kol Nidre night, which is the highest, most solemn, most sobering moment of our year, it is both a day of atonement. It is also Yom HaKippurim. It is a day of happiness because we are cleansed from all our sins, much like you walk into a kitchen that is filthy, and then, you know, you hire someone or you roll up your sleeves and you finish up the dishes yourself. You feel so good about it. And you know that everything is now clean and put away in its right place. And you know where everything is to start cooking all over again, because that's what we do. We're great at these things. And the feeling is euphoric, and you want to just share with other people. Bring them in. We are Balei Tshuva. When it comes time for us to look at the davening, Anu Matchilin Lispalel, we are now prepared to daven with the sinners. Who is the sinner? That's me. That's the person who may be familiar with davening, but is looking at davening from a whole new lens, saying, I really don't think I mastered this. I really think I need to start all over again. And b'makom shebaal tshuva omed ein tzaddikim gemurim yichon lamod. Where a baal tshuva stands, even the greatest tzaddik cannot come near him. Because when a person's a baal tshuva, they want to do things better. It's the same way when a person does their job. And they've been doing it forever. They know how to do their job. But when it comes time for them to learn something, or you know what they say, let me take stock and let me learn from others. Maybe I can do things even sharper, even better than what I did before. Sure, I know how to daven. Sure, I know how to move the pages along. Yes, I have a Baruch Hashem, a Jewish education, but can I concentrate a little bit better? Can I think about the words that I'm saying? Can I internalize them? Can they move me? Can I bring myself to cry and to feel those words permeate within me such that I am a Baal Tshuva? And that's why we say, Anu Matchilin Lispalel Im Ha'Arvayanim. And I wanted to be mechadesh on that and to say that we look at these Aravos, which is the weakest link among all of the Arba Minim. They do not have any taste. They do not have any fragrance. They do not have any Torah. They do not have any mitzvos. They are just simply lips. And we turn our lips to Hashem. And we say, help me say the right words to come close to the Kisya Kavod. That's what the lips are all about. We could think, but what the Torah requires us to do is to speak. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem Salachti, I forgive you, Kidvarecha, because of the words that came out of your mouth. Not just simply enough for us to speak. No, I'm sorry, not just simply enough for us to think, like some religions are prone to do. They think a lot. No, ours requires us to actually speak, to use our lips. These are ravos. And to show how we want to be a Baal Tshuva. We want to be greater than the greatest tzaddik that ever lived. We are that person. We are B'makom Shabali Tshuva Amen. Ein tzaddikim gemor michal namod. No one comes close to us because we're a Baal Tshuva. And we want to take the weakest link, the Aravos. And what do with them? We immerse them in water. We try to keep them as fresh looking as we can. And we say to the weakest link, we support you. And that's each of us. We look around the room and we say, who's a Baal Tshuva? And guess what? Everyone raises their hand. And what do we need? What do we need? We need support. We need encouragement. We need to be put in a little bit of like a wet cloth with some tinfoil. And we need to have replacement aravos. And we need to keep the arba minim looking as fresh on day 6 and 7. And, you know, through Hoshana Rabbah, the way that they looked when we first took them out and we bought it, you know, on a street corner in Brooklyn or in New Jersey somewhere, or someone picked it up for us and bought us the Arba Minim. We want it to be cherished. We want it to look as beautiful as it can be. We want to take the weakest link and make that the strongest link. And that is the beauty and the majesty of how we transform Sukkos into our lives, and how we inspire ourselves to inspire others, not just ourselves, but others will see in us a new person, a new change, a new Arava, a new Avaryon. But it's something that when we repent with Shkagos, if our Shkagos can turn into Zechusim, and if we repent from fear, then all of the worst things that we've done turn into missed opportunities. But if we repent through love, then they actually become merits, and they are in our corner. All of our prior transgressions turn into merits. There's a beautiful thought that I wanted to dovetail upon and close out with. Rabbi Tuker spoke about this last night, and he said something powerful, which is that we know that Ezra HaSofer was the one who created the law, that we can have two walls and a tefach to satisfy the minimum requirements of a sukkah. By only having two walls and a tefach, that really requires us to have a little bit of imagination as to how we could be in a safe structure. It also speaks about the fact that we are completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the safety of that structure. But I wanted to share a Sfas Emes, who tells us that if you look at your arm, you have one arm that goes this way, and you have a second arm that goes the other way, and then you have the palm of your hand, and that's a tefach. And that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is embracing us with a hug. He loves us. Why? Because we love Hashem. We go out into the Baruch Hashem, the weather is gorgeous. You couldn't pay for this weather. And we always get great weather. Even when it was supposed to be, I slept in a sukkah on the first night. Yeah, that was pretty cold. But I loved it. You know why? Because I love my sukkah. And if anybody's around my neighborhood, I would love to invite you inside. And you can take a look at it. And everyone feels that way about their sukkah. Everyone feels a sense of pride. And they adorn the sukkah. As the Gemara in Sukkah on Chav Ches on Abay says, that if we have nice clothing, we put them on, we go into the sukkah. We have beautiful utensils, we take them out to the sukkah. We have beautiful adornments, we adorn the sukkah. And this brings us to the concept in Baba Kama on Daf Tes 9b that speaks about Hidra Mitzvah. It's not enough for us. Also in Shabbos Kuchav Gimel, Shabbos 123, where the Gemara discusses how we enhance the sukkah. We beautify it. Do you know why? Because it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's personal home. And he's inviting us to eat outside. And we sometimes forget and think that our home is permanent and the sukkah is temporary. Sure, the sukkah is temporary, but so is our lifespan. Our lifespan is temporary. And what we have to remember is that we are in the hands, as we say on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are like clay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sculptor. And we have to recognize the frailty of life and the significance of enjoying ourselves in a frail position, completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection. And that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to us in return and says, "Mimini smoli tachas roshi, mimini techavkeni," that with my left hand, I embrace below your head, "Vimini," and my right hand, "Techavkeni," I embrace you in a hug. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will give you a hug. And that's one wall, one arm. The second arm is your other arm, and the palm of your hand is a tefach. Hashem is giving us a hug when we go out into that sukkah. And that's what is so beautiful. A zman simchasenu. I give everyone this bracha that we should take the joy of sukkahs and never lose it. All year long, we should feel that embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, much like we enjoy or can think back to the embrace of an elderly parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, whichever it may be. We should take that embrace with us and inspire each of us all year long. Chag Sameach and a good Moed.